It was about a month later that I saw Mr. Pickersgill. He was on a bicycle, pedalling majestically across the marketplace, and he dismounted when he saw me.
"Now then, Mr. Harriet," he said, puffing slightly. "I'm glad I've met you. I've been meaning to come and tell you that we don't have no flakes in the milk now. Ever since we started with salve, they began to disappear, and milk's as clear as it can be now."
"Oh, great. And, how's your lumbago?"
"Well, I'll tell you. You've really capped it, and I'm grateful. I've never milked since that day, and I hardly get a twinge now."
He paused and smiled indulgently.
"You gave me some good advice for me back.
But we had to go back to our Professor Mallison to cure all them mastics, didn't we?" My next encounter with Mr. Pickersgill was on the telephone.
"I'm speaking from the Cossack,"
he said in a subdued shout.
"From the what?"
"The Cossack, the telephone Cossack, in village."
"Oh, yes, indeed, and what can I do for you?"
"I want you to come out as soon as possible to treat a calf with semolina."
"I beg your pardon?"
"I have a calf with semolina."
"Semolina?
Ah, that's right, a fellow was on about it on Wireless the other morning."
Oh, yes, yes, I see."
I too had heard a bit of the farming talk on salmonella infection in calves.
What makes you think you've got this trouble?"
"Well, it's like that fella said, me calf's bleeding from the rectum."
"From the, oh, yes, yes, of course, yeah. Well, I'd better have a look at him. I won't be long."
The calf was pretty ill when I saw him, and he did have rectal bleeding, but it wasn't like salmonella.
"There's no diarrhea, you see, Mr. Pickersgill," I said.
"In fact, he seems to be constipated. This is almost pure blood coming from him. And he hasn't got a very high temperature." The farmer looked a little disappointed.
"Dang, I thought it was just as that fellow was talking about. He said you could send samples off to the Labrador."
To the what?"
"The investigation Labrador, you know."
"Oh, yes, yes, quite. And I don't think the lab will be of any help in this case."
"Ah, well, what's wrong with him then? Is something the matter with his rectum?"
"No. No, but there seems to be some obstruction high up in his bowel which is causing this hemorrhage." I looked at the little animal standing motionless with his back up. He was totally preoccupied with some internal discomfort, and now and then he strained and grunted softly. And of course I should have known straight away. It was so obvious. But I suppose we all have blind spells when we can't see what is pushed in front of our eyes, and for a few days I played around with that calf in a haze of ignorance, giving it this and that medicine which I'd rather not talk about. But I was lucky. He recovered in spite of my treatment. It wasn't until Mr. Pickersgill showed me the little roll of necrotic tissue which the calf had passed that the thing dawned on me. I turned, shamefaced, to the farmer. "This is a bit of dead bowel, all telescoped together. An intussusception. It's usually a fatal condition, but fortunately in this case, the obstruction has sloughed away and your calf should be all right now."
"What was it you called it?"
"An intussusception." Mr. Pickersgill's lips moved tentatively, and for a moment I thought he was going to have a shot at it. But he apparently decided against it.
"Oh," he said. "That's what it was it?"
"Yes, and it's difficult to say just what caused it." The farmer sniffed.
"I bet I know what was behind it. I've always said that this one would be a weakly calf. When he was born, he bled a lot from his biblical cord."
Mr. Pickersgill hadn't finished with me yet. It was only a week later when I heard him on the phone again.
"Get out here, quick! There's one of me pigs going bezique."
"Bezique?" With an effort, I put away from me a mental picture of two porkers facing each other over a green baize table.
"I'm afraid I don't quite..." "Aye! I gave him a dose of worm medicine, and he started jumping about and rolling on his back. I tell you, he's going proper bezique." "Ah, yes! Yes, I see. Right. I'll be with you in a few minutes."
The pig had quietened down a bit when I arrived, but was still in considerable pain, getting up, lying down, trotting in spurts round the pen. I gave him half a grain of morphine hydrochloride as a sedative, and within a few minutes he began to relax and finally curled up in the straw.
"Well, it looks as though he's going to be all right," I said, "but what's this worm medicine you gave him?"
Mr. Pickersgill produced the bottle sheepishly. Blog was coming round selling them, like. Said it would shift any worms you care to name. Well, it nearly shifted your pig, didn't it? I sniffed at the mixture. Oh, no wonder. It smells almost like pure turpentine.
Turpentine? Well, by guys, that's all it is. And Bloke said it was somewhat new.
Charged me an absorbent price for it, too. I gave him back the bottle. Well, never mind, I don't think there's any harm done, but I think the dustbin's the best place for that. As I was getting into my car, I looked up at the farmer. You must be about sick of the sight of me. First the mastitis, then the calf, and now the pig. You've had a bad run. Mr. Pickersgill squared his shoulders and gazed at me with massive composure. Again I was conscious of the sheer presence of the man. Young fella, he said.
That don't bother me.
Where there's stock, there's trouble. And I know from experience that trouble allus comes in cyclones.